So we move on from there. We are going to start from verse 38 to 9. So I'll read to verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And as the purpose of the Lord's sermon is to bring clearer understanding on the law which the Pharisees had clouded with so many explanations and also some false and also some extreme and all that, but he picked some of them and explained them for us and to show the purpose of those laws which they have neglected. And so we have here, you have heard that has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And again, so this will be part 14 of our series on the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And this law, which the Lord just quoted here, it was given to regulate the judges of Israel after the measure of punishment to be meted out to offenders when cases come before them. And so this was given to the judges to use so that when people cause offense and they are brought before them, how they should, the measure of punishment should be held for them. And we have it in Exodus chapter 21. I'll read to you quickly. Exodus 21, verse 22 to 24. If men strive and hurt a woman with a child, so that her food depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determined. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So here it said that he shall pay as the judge determines. So this law has to do with the one the judge handling the case. And also I'll read to you Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17 to 23. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, and he that killeth a beast shall make it good beast for beast. If a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. He that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. He shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. So here Moses was the judge, who saw there was a case before him. The Lord brought this issue that each case must be dealt with accordingly. And so the eye for eye, tooth for tooth has to do with the person, the punishment given, meted out to him according to the deserved, according to what he deserves as a way of punishment. I'll read you the last one also, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Verse 15 to 21. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that is in it, at the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, Then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall he do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And that I shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So here this law was given to regulate judges of Israel and how they mete out punishment to offenders. And so it was a law for magistrates alone to use, but the Pharisees have corrupted it and have made this law as a permission for retaliation, so that based on this, if you do this to me, I'll do the same to you. And I'm sure in our normal life, people even used to say this. They say that Moses' law, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So, like retaliation, but that's not the purpose of the law. The purpose was not that we avenge ourselves against those who hurt us and to do the same to them as they've done to us. Normally, the law was given to regulate judges, magistrates in their judgment sentences of people who have been convicted of evil. Verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. The law's intention here in this verse is to show that the law that sanctions punishment for offenders does not permit revenge. So he will tell us what we ought to do rather in personal offenses when people offend us, and that the matter has not been going to the judges, or how you respond to injuries when people are offended, how we ought to respond, and that he will show that in all the verses following how we ought to respond with patience and kind heartedness. So in if the matter, the matter of injuries caused us, we ought to respond with that kind of patience and kind heartedness, and not with vengeful attitude. Even if the matter is taken to the judge, we ourselves, we don't have to have that desire that we are taking vengeance. We are taking a pound of flesh, no. So he will show that the law doesn't permit revenge at all. But I say unto you that he resists not evil. Some have taken that the law said that, oh, when somebody is hurting us, we should allow them to hurt us. But that's not what the Lord is saying. What he's saying is that if others will injure us, and that they by false means want to harm us, and that we have we come under that situation, they intend to hurt us, we should not retaliate. That's what he's saying. But he's not saying that we should not prevent the injuries, you see. When we have been attacked, we don't retaliate. But he does not say that we should not in any way prevent the injuries that have been done to us, and that we ought to allow them to hurt us. No. So there are two things. We don't retaliate, but we have the right to prevent the harm that has been done to us, not as a way of retaliation. So it's like what the Lord, the Bible says, that we must not render evil for evil, and that we should repay evil with good. And in Romans 12:21, we are told, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So that when others are injuring us, our response is not revenge. We are not revenge an evil person who is harming us. You see, one of the hard things of which Christianity brings to us, and it's only us we know until the Lord really changes our hearts, it will be hard for us to take the commands of the Lord, and because our natural hearts, there's revenge in our hearts. All the angers and all the kind of irritations in our hearts when we are hurt, naturally we would want to revenge. That's our natural character by sin. But by the grace of God in our hearts, then we'll be able to hold up ourselves, and that we don't, not that we don't act publicly, I mean outwardly, but our own hearts and minds will be quiet, even when we are not retaliating. You know, some people, they may not outwardly retaliate, but in their hearts, there's that kind of bitterness, I mean, boiling up in the heart. I know it's entirely, is this not able? So that we don't revenge those who harm us. We don't revenge. So for instance, if someone insults us, we don't respond with insults, as we know, as believers. When somebody insults us, we don't respond with insults. Rather, our response should be to calm the situation and bear the insult, whatever way it puts us, we bear it, and then we, in our response, we even make it in a way that whichever reason a person insulted us himself will be calmed, and then the situation will be resolved. So, but I say unto you that he resists not evil. So that here, as I said, he is not saying that we should not in any way prevent injuries and harm or anything that, or people try to, who are trying to intend to harm us. If you have the means, you have to prevent it. We ought not to bear. But if we don't have the means to prevent ourselves, we bear it as it is. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right hand, on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And this one is going to be taken literally, where if you slap me, and I turn the other one for you to slap me, he's not saying that. The same way. As he said, that if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. We don't do that. I mean, it doesn't mean we should physically cut any part of our body off. The same way this one too. Whosoever smites thee on the right cheek, turn to him other also. It's a way of speaking where it's like kind of expressing the truth in this example. So it means that we should in no way revenge injuries. That's what he's saying. But be willing to endure if we are to suffer more. But the person, literally by what he's saying, have been slapped, and then the person has sought the means to slap me again. Well, somebody will say, well, the first one I will not respond, but second one I respond. See, but he's saying that no, if that person has used bad means to hurt us, and again using it to hurt, and he has even had the opportunity to do, we should bear it. It shouldn't provoke us. That's what he's trying to say. So that whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn. And turn to him the other also. So that the injury we ought to bear if that person has forcefully and in his own way seemed to hurt us. And this situation is somebody who have, really intended to do us harm. And that he has found a way to do. Even if he has. He's willing to do it again. We shouldn't have revenge against the person. That's what the Lord is saying. That when we have seen this person willing to do the same thing, we shouldn't revenge. Yes, as I said, if we have them, we have to prevent it. Yes, as we say, defend ourselves against. But we ought not retaliate. Out of a vengeful heart to will cause harm to the same the person who is hurting us. So we are not forbidden to defend ourselves when we are being injured. Rather, it is revenge that is forbidden. Our response to be to make things calm, and also if we have to defend ourselves. And we can protest against our offenders, you see. And if it is also possible, seek protection from the right authorities. For instance, I have an attack in my house. I don't sit down there, let me be attacked. No, there's a way that the police station is, I can seek protection. I can seek for my neighbors, whatever. I don't say, oh well, the person has hurt me, he's coming to, and I allow him to know it. I mean, we have the right to take preventive measures, but not to revenge. So our response, even in seeking our protection, our response must not be to avenge ourselves. See, some under the cover of maybe seeking revenge, then they may revenge their offenders by themselves. No, but if the state court catch them, those who are avenged and they are punishing them, that's fine. That's that one it is allowed, because God allows authority to punish evil people. So if it's in the hand of a judge or the police arrest such people to deal with them, yes, and if we report it to them and that they arrest such criminals, then it is right. But we don't put revenge in our hands. And then I remember my landlord, some people, I think they came to steal his house, his brokerage, which is not working, just beside my place. And I think some thieves came to steal his cables. He was so mad. He brought police people there, and I think he saw that the police are not helping him. He told them, anytime I see anybody, I will shoot the person. See, so that's the scenario. So that he said that even the police are not even helping, because like he has suspected some people, but the police didn't know. And the police told him, allow us to do our work. If you have suspected some people, it doesn't mean that they are, unless you have evidence. But the man thinks the people have caused it. So the police will go after them. You see, so it's like he was so affected, so that he wanted to also revenge. But that's the kind of scenario I'm trying to, the Lord Jesus was trying to put to our mind, so that even when we are seeking help and we are seeking the authorities to help us, our response is not merely to seek revenge. Our response is that we will prevent, those who are causing us harm in those ways. Sorry. For instance, we learn this from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he was being tried before he was sentenced by the high priest in the house of Annas, the high priest, yes. The father-in-law of the high priest, Caiaphas, you know, one of the officers slapped him. The Lord Jesus Christ protested. But that was he protested. Let me look at John chapter 18, verse 16, please. He said, and when he had asked for him, he gave an answer, and then this man slapped him. And when he had asked for him, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest? So Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his example, so we can protest and we can. So what he's telling us, that we should not resist. It doesn't mean that when we are slapped here, we should attend the other side. He didn't do that. He protested, because if at this point they have not been convicted him, they've not finished. They were. Now trying him. Remember when, after he was convicted, and then the soldiers were mocking, he was quiet. Though his trial was false, he had done nothing, but then when he was bearing that conviction on himself, he was quiet. But here, he has not been convicted. And that he deserved no punishment from anyone. So when this officer smites him, he said, why smites thou me? If I've done wrong, speak to the wrong. Bear witness of the wrong, so that the judge will listen. And also, Apostle Paul responded in the same manner to a similar injustice that was inflicted on him in Acts chapter 23, verse 1 to 3. He also did the same. I read to you Acts chapter 23, verse 1 to 3. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, after the Jewish people they were accusing him, behold, the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law, because you have not convicted me. and you are asking somebody to beat you, you are a judge. So you are wrong. So you see, Apostle Paul didn't retaliate, didn't seek any, but he protested the wrong done against him. He called the injustice against him, but he protested. He made a judge to Ananias to see that he has done wrong. You are a judge, and you are to uphold justice. Look at what you have done, and that you have done wrong. So I commanded me to be smitten contrary to the law. You are put there for that and that. So we are not prevented to prevent or say to, I mean, try to prevent those who for attack us or hurt us, but we can defend ourselves. We have to defend ourselves, and that we only that we are not to revenge, take our pound of flesh, as we say. And so that's what the Lord is telling us about. I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And so that we should be able to bear more if people have intended to cause us harm without revenging, without retaliating to all they've done to us. Verse 40, and if any man will seal thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And if any man will seal thee at the law, that is lawsuit, when somebody pursues us with lawsuits, and indeed he's talking about unjust lawsuits. So here the Lord instructs us how to respond to persons who pursue us with litigations for the purpose of taking a possession of our properties by force. You know, people are like that, covetous people. They will, maybe there's something which they want to take from us. They may take us to law court wrongly, with wrong reasons, and pursue the case so that they will possess whatever belongs to us. And this is what the Lord is trying to say. A case like this, somebody will see us, not that we have done anything wrong, but they have an eye to take something. And he used the case of the people of Israel. You know, the people of Israel, they are dressed, when they have the cloak and also the coats, they wear the cloak over the coats. So it's like outside the inner garment. And so he's using that as an example. For instance, if somebody has sold you and that is by his lawsuit, he's taking your first dress and he comes again to see for the second, it's better to give him. That's what he's saying. Don't resist such a person. And that it's better he have the cloak and then you have your peace than to go on with him. So the principle is that if someone by unjust litigation takes one thing from us, and afterwards, by the same vicious way, demands other also, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we must allow them to have it than to have a dispute with them. You see? So it is a case where it's not merely that, well, somebody will take something from me and I can't prevent. No. He has taken to the law court and by false means trying to take. He has come again using the same false means, you know. It's like issue like double case. But normally, first instance, it doesn't do it, may irritate us, but not so much. But then the second one often brings so much of irritation to us, you see. So that's what the Lord is adding, the first and the second. Because somebody will, as I said, somebody says, okay, this is the first case, so I wouldn't do it. But if he comes again, I will have to do something. But I say, no, even if he does again, there is no room for revenge. You know what the Lord says? When Peter asked, how many times do I have to forgive my... how many times do I have to forgive those who do me wrong? Lord Jesus answered him. 7 times in a day, 70 times 7. The number of times the person hurts you, forgive. So in the case of this one, again, the person has hurt me, he has taken a possession of something that belongs to me, and he has come again. He said, no, he shouldn't reject us. We should let him have it. Because he has planned that he has purpose that he wants to do us harm.
by doing that. And
anyway, when we give him that, our life is not taken away. The property which they have weakened. God himself will avenge them at his own time. And that if we have the means, we have to prevent it. But in this case, like he has even probably trying to corrupt even those who have to look at the case. You see, and you don't have to pursue. You don't have to go, and because he himself is willing. You know, some people, for them, they love litigations, so they love to be at the court and they think that they can win cases. You say, no, we don't dispute in such cases. We should not be follow them and become those people who are also litigants. They are leading us to become like people who are also, we don't like peace. Because when we follow them, like, we also don't like peace. They themselves are not peace lovers. And they want us to act like them. Say, no, we should not act like them. We shouldn't pursue them the same way they want to pursue us. We should let them have their way. So the lesson is that the Lord is teaching us that it is better to suffer the loss of our properties than to engage in disputes where it is not necessary. Where such disputes, disputes always cause disquietness. And I'm sure those who go to court and they know how the system is, it really causes disquiet. It's better to have our peace of mind than to lose our properties. It's better to have our peace of mind than that we must to lose our properties than to engage in disputes, and that we must be opposed to contentions and prefer peace to quarrel about material things. Things of this life, if people use false means and very malicious means to take it, and we should let them have it. But here it's talking about somebody who has really planned. Remember what Isaac did when his father left, Abraham left the wells, the people of Gerar, they came to fill it. He left it for them, he went for another one. I think he cleared another one to it, he came to fill it with debt. He didn't dispute with them, he left it for them. So he was able to dig another one, and then they didn't come again. They said, the Lord has blessed us, but he wants us to settle here. So that is how it is. You know, these days, people say, well, like the world, for instance, it's my world. It's maybe my father left it for me. You know how many, there are many cases at the law courts concerning these matters of inheritance, you know. There's so fight, and they themselves will never fight over it. Some of them have been dead and gone. They are still fighting over the inheritance. But if we are the lost people, we are taking this advice, we wouldn't follow such things. We have our peace. And Isaac himself, as he didn't pursue those to take possession of those worlds, they themselves left off. You see, when people are bent on becoming ruthless, if they are not met with ruthlessness, at the point they just stop. But if they are met with resistance, like another, they are met with resistance and kind of ruthlessness, they will become more ruthless. And so that's the laws are instruction. That's what it means. When people have been so hot, we should cool. We should become those who are cooling things down. We may lose some things through that. We may lose our property. We may lose something. But if we are Christian, we are those the Lord has saved. He has washed us from our sins. We have repented of sin, trusted in Him. Then we are under Him. He's the Prince of Peace. And Christians, we are like Christ. We ought to live like Christ. And we ought to be peaceful. Peace loving. See, when they reviled Him, He really reviled back. He took all injuries to go all the way to the cross of Calvary for us, and to suffer the shame of punishment for sin, so that we might be saved. So if He has saved us, we have to walk in His footsteps. If we should lose some things for the sake of peace, that is for His own glory's sake, it is better. We don't need to follow people to become people who love disputes and contentions. Because people have pursued us with disputes and contentions, no? Yes, it may be our right As long as those things are not matters which will not cause us to be, we allow them. And then we have our peace of mind. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So you see, again, you see how the Lord is doing. Well, the first and the second. And as I said, always the first don't return so much. It doesn't irritate so much. But a repeated wrong really causes anyone to, no. Someone says, no, I can't bear it again. You see, but the first one, mostly, so the Lord is touching on where, I mean, naturally, we are bound to be irritated by the actions that, or the injuries that are done to us. Then there he said that, no, allow them. See, show that you are a peace-loving person. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Yeah, the big word translated compelled is derived from the Persian language, and it is said that originally it has to be, it means that forced to be a courier. The word compelled there means forced to be a courier, and this has a reference to in those days the messengers of the kings of Persia, so Cyrus, they were given this right so that they have the right to force anyone who they meet on the street, who is within their reach, to use the person to serve as a messenger for the king. For instance, there's a message to deliver to other places, and so they come out, they see you, by the law they can let you be the messenger to carry the message. You see the inconvenience, so that they were compelled. That's the meaning of that word. So that when they see anyone, maybe in the distance is maybe a long distance to carry the message to the next post, you have to. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to here. Whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him to it. So the word compel, whoever will make you, will force you to be a courier, continue, and not just one, to continue more than just one Easter. So, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So he implies that. And you know, by the law, again, the same, they were compelled, meaning that those who compel, that they have the law in their hands, so they have the authority to force you. So it's like to be forced into public service. Again, it's like also like we have, not the same, but like countries like Ukraine and Russia, where they have the martial law. Like Ukraine, any, I think they have an age line. If we're a young man or a male person, and that within that age, initially they were not, well, people should come voluntarily, but now they're on the street. If they see you are in that age, you have not gone to any military, you have not gone to the war front, they will arrest you and take you to the training camp, and they'll put you to the war front. So people are hiding, young men, they're hiding, those who don't go to the war. It has come, it's like a national law, so you have to abide. If you're a young man, they see you on the street, you have not gone to the war, they will catch you by force. No matter where you are, they put you on the war and train you and you go and fight. So that's the idea here. So for instance, you are in Ukraine and you have been taken by the authorities. That's the law of the state. You have to comply. You don't have to resist it because you are supposed to go. So what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us is that if those who have authority over us force us to serve with rigor, we must comply. That's what it means. They have been given authority to maybe comply, make us do something. But if they amount, maybe, well, that's issue. But if they want us to do beyond our limitation, where maybe become like severe, because they have the authority over us, we shouldn't retaliate. Because if we tell it, it's like we'll rebel against authority, we'll not do it again, we are tired, we wouldn't want to continue. But I said, no, if they want to, those who have authority over us, force us to serve with rigor, we must comply. And we must understand this one also in the case where others will intentionally want to abuse our liberty, and where in that same circumstance we cannot avoid them. You see, so those who want to abuse our liberty, we cannot avoid them. For instance,
at the workplace. Well, this is a job you have. You don't have any job. But the job demands so much from you. I mean, according to your job description, they are even making you do more than that. But for the time being, you have not found any other new job. Yes, as long as you are pleased to be there, then you have to bear, the extreme hot situation you are put under. You know, many people at the workplace, well, they don't, they are fed up with their work, they wish to get a new work, but they will not go. Maybe they've not got a new work, they will stay there rather for some. Maybe find a means, maybe corrupt things and to end, get, yeah, that's what people do sometimes at the workplace, no. If they have intended to use you more than is required, and your circumstance, you cannot avoid them. You have to comply. You don't have to respond with taking a vengeance attitude towards them. You know, at the workplace, people do that because maybe the authorities are not giving them this benefit, or then we also the work we try to do in a way that will not also make them be seen as they are doing their work. We also sabotage them. So that's the word. See, when people, they will say, the bosses think they are enjoying. We'll see. We'll sabotage them. That's kind of attitude. They say, no, we shouldn't. If they are abusing our liberties or taking too much from us, and we are in our situation, our circumstance, we cannot avoid to deal with such people. We should rather comply and not revenge. We should rather allow ourselves for them to do whatever they want to do, so long as we are there. We shouldn't revenge, you see. And I'm using it because it's very common nowadays at the workplace. Almost everybody is not happy with their job. Even those with quote-unquote good jobs, they will complain. Why? And they seem to also say, oh, well, we'll also do the work how we want to do that. So long as we are there, we ought not to revenge. In such cases, we do not revenge, but patiently bear with our oppressors, you see. We bear with our oppressors until the Lord Himself, in His providence, provide the means for us to live there, so that the Christians have to put up with such injuries, because it's an injustice, but then that is what those who have authority over us are doing. Let me quote you 1 Peter 2, verse 18 to 19. Quote the Lord that we are told, if we are servants or we are under authority. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, for this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So this is what, almost like what the Lord is saying. So Peter is also, Apostle Peter has just also instructing from the Lord's teaching. That's what we can say. Because he said that we should do what? Subject to your master with all fear, meaning respect. No matter who it is, not only to the good, but also to the forward, the one who will take our liberties and abuse us. We should act towards them with the same respect after the one who treats us well. You see? So the one who acts as if he's our enemy, we shouldn't diminish our respect and our responsibilities to him or her. We shouldn't say, well, he doesn't treat us well, so we also act other way. Then it's revenge. We are taking revenge of what they are doing to you. I say no. We shouldn't take revenge in that way. So that's what Apostle Peter is telling us. It's just a teaching. It's like a teaching from what the Lord has said. For this is thanksworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. These days, the idea of Christian suffering seems so strange to many who claim to be Christians. No, Christians, we ought to bear the things the Lord. It says, but God is aware that we are in that situation. You see, by bearing it patiently, it shows that I'm content with where the Lord has placed me. He's aware. He could have placed me in places where I wouldn't be suffering. But He has, in all providence, place me at a place where people are taking liberties, my liberties, or abusing my liberties. It's a way I only cry to him for grace to help me to go through. And even he may want me to bear testimony to him that I have the grace in my heart. I have patience, you see. I have a person who is peaceful, loving, and one who has sympathy for even those who hurt me. A character of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you see. So that is the idea that the Lord is putting and instructing us about. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him to him. No complaint, you see. And as you said, that we should be content with what the Lord provides for. And there's one of the things, contentment. And again, as I said, some people, they will not speak, they will not respond, but in their hearts there's bitterness against those who are hurting them. No, we don't have anything against anyone. And that's worse. To have that bitterness against those who, hurt us, it's worse than even revenge. It's revenge. Having anger in my heart and against those who hurt me or despise me. No, if I'm a child of God, if I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have anything against anyone. I'd rather pour my heart to the Lord and leave the case there. I don't need to take any vengeance, you see. And that I wait upon him, and I rather take my complaints to him and ask for grace to continue and to bear a testimony for his name. But Apostle Peter said, well, this is thankworthy, you see, it's praiseworthy if a man for conscience toward God and your grief suffered wrongfully. And again, as I said, these days the common Christianity you find is about Christians don't have to suffer. No. And I'm sure this is what's affecting the U.S. Most of the Christians, they are rebellious against authority. It's interesting. The churches, and they are just, no. They are against authority and all that. No. Yes, we can voice out the wrongs which are going, but we don't need to mobilize people to stand against authority. No. In whichever way we do, it's against the Lord's will. We are not to rise up against authority, to be those who are leading or joining. And that's why, like, strike and work demonstration, workers on strike. The Christian don't need to be part, you see. All authorities are put there by God Himself. If they are part, God will take them away. You know how Adolf Hitler died? He caused suicide. You know, the war himself he brought. It came to him, and they brought it back to him, and he was in his bunker, shot himself, and his other officers had to surrender. But he was ravaging the whole world with bombs. You see, when the time comes for the Lord to deal with wicked people, he deals with them. You see, and if we trust in him, we trust in him that he's just. You see, so that whatever unjust things that is done against us, he will deal with that in his own time. We may not be there, but he will deal with that. And we trust that. We commit our case unto him. And so we take the Lord's instructions that we shouldn't be those who are seen as vengeful, rebellious. And no, that's not the heart of believers. Believers are those who rather suffer wrong than to revenge or take revenge. Verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow from of thee, turn not thou away. And here the Lord will instruct us to be those who are merciful and kind to the needy. You see? So that's what he's trying to give to him that asketh thee. The needy, the poor person who asks us of support. But what he's saying, that means we have to do, we should be those who are ever ready to support those who are in need. But our giving must not encourage laziness. So if somebody will not work, we are not supposed to. He's not a needy person. If he's able to work, or he's able to find something to do, he's capable, he will not work and he wants to depend on a gift, we don't need to give such a person a gift. It's 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 11. If any will not work, neither should he eat. So you see, we are to be, to be kind and generous to the needy, but we should also be wise in doing that. And we shouldn't, say overness may be bad people. But then, if we know these people, they just want, they don't want to work. They want to be lazy. No, we don't support them. We don't, give them, then we are supporting laziness. And God hates laziness. We are supporting them to sin. And he said, and from him thou will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Here also those who want to borrow from us but we are to borrow on condition that we are capable. If we don't have, we don't give. So we are to borrow, though we are to give to him that ask of us, we are only able to give as we have. And that if we have, then we are complying to give. We are complying to do good to those who ask us to borrow. And we'll borrow, they mean those who want to borrow and return to us later on. But in all, the Lord wants us to be kind and good and merciful to the needy. And again, in whichever way we come, whether being given freely or borrowing to others, we should always apply our wisdom in the cases, but we should be those who are kind and merciful to the needy. We should have that heart. The Lord should, if we don't have the Lord, we have the Lord to help us, so that we'll be so such people that we'll be known as such. Because God, because the verse, we can't know that. Let me just read to you. Look at verse 48, which qualifies. So be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. No, I think that there's another verse here. Yes, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust. So, or the Lord wants us to be like God Himself, showing His character, and this is one of the beauty, the beautiful character that we all admire, like sinners and needy people such as us, the kindness and the mercy of God. And so, if we have received kindness and mercy from Him, forgiving us our sins, and to bring us in reconciliation to Himself freely, then we have to imitate that kindness to others in material things. You see, others who are in need, we ought to also offer help freely. We should be, and that should be our character. We should be seen as in us that we are those people who want to do good, because our Heavenly Father, whom we are His children, He is good, and that He will always want to do us good. And we are always seeking good from His hand, and He's given us, so why not give Him also to others? So, this is what the Lord requires from us. We will only end verse 42 here because of our time. But let's remember that the Lord Jesus Christ requires believers to obey His commands. These are not something He just said, "Well, I can take some part in the part." No, we are to be like this. He wants our life to be regulated by these principles. You see, where our hearts and minds are free from any malicious or mischievous thing. Because if we are like what he's saying, we will never harm anyone. You see, we will never harm anyone. Our attitude will always be to bring peace and to make us always cause, avoid all that our natural hearts will cause us to do, the irritation, the revenge, and the all sorts of behavior. So may the Lord help us that we may grow in these things and to have these things as part of our life and grow in them, that will be seen in them.